B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the Wyclef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli show. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio and from Comcast on 975 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
Turn my microphone the right way. Here we go.
All right, so yesterday I was at 50-50 on the Toronto series, which we knew was forthcoming. And we thought it was going to happen after last night. The Sixers would win the game. I was astonished that the New Jersey... Bang! That the Brooklyn Nets did not come with a little more competitiveness. Frankly, they flat out quit as soon as they walked into the Wells Fargo Center last night. But the other side of it is the Sixers had a killer instinct in that game last night, which I didn't expect. I thought they'd come out a little overconfident, be a little malaise. Bottom line is that I am impressed by this team's growth. I'm tempering it because it was the Nets. And it's going to be a monumental task to beat the Toronto Raptors, especially when you don't have the home court advantage. But yesterday I said it was 50-50. Tyrone, you'll be happy to know that because of last night, because I see a team that has changed, especially defensively, which I didn't see coming, I now got it at 52-48 in favor of the Sixers.
What?
Against Toronto. Yes, I told you I would have to absorb everything and learn from game to game. And what I learned about this team is they have a little more character than I thought they had. They were a lot of guys that were missing in action as we came down to the waning days of the season. And then they went into the playoffs and they lost game one. And all of a sudden, it was like a kick in the rump. And they realized what they had to do, which was to expend more energy on the floor. And they did that defensively. Now, the Nets are a team you can take away defensively. And their strategy was to take away the perimeter, and they did that. But they did that because they did it a different way. They trusted a guy like Ben Simmons to take on D'Angelo Russell and take him out of his game. And they trusted J.J. Redick to stay with Joe Harris. And Redick did a pretty good job with Joe Harris, which meant that the constant switching that they used to do, they didn't do over the last four games of this series. Now, I don't know if they can get away with that against Toronto, but it showed me that they had some energy to want to stop the other team. Now, the turnovers are going to fly against Toronto. They turned the ball over a little bit last night. It was a sloppy game. It was a game that was over. I felt bad for people who were really there, who went there gung-ho to see an elimination game and get excited about an elimination game, and it was over in the second quarter. And there was just no buzz in the building at all because of that. When they went ahead 23-2, the game was pretty much over. It was ridiculous at that point. And with the rest of the game, it was a drone. Like, I'm in the fourth quarter. I'm watching the game, and I'm like, please don't blow the whistle. No more whistles. And they keep blowing whistles for like nine minutes. It's like 9 minutes to 8 minutes. It took 5 minutes in that fourth quarter. But the Sixers did what they needed to do. And again, I ask you today, the Toronto series was what we were focused on. The Nets series was like the hors d'oeuvres, right? The passing around, you get a couple of hot dog weenies and crab cakes. And now you go to the main course and you have to go into the dining room and play the Toronto Raptors here, who closed out Orlando in fine style. So we're going to have the head coach on to talk about the adjustments that he made, because Brett Brown is now being held in high esteem. It's funny how this sound goes. He has gone from he can't coach a lick to he done a masterful job against the New Jersey Brooklyn Nets. I said, do me a favor. How can we have to an electrical probe? What? This is ridiculous.
You need like one of those.
I swear I have a brain lock.
You need one of those like things that Sheena has.
The Brooklyn Nets. See? All right. So what did you take out of last night's game, Tyrone?
I really like the defense. I think Embiid, relative to how he's going to be this playoff run, he's as healthy as he's going to get, which is a good sign. He was spry. He was able to run around. They were able to play him, but not play him too many minutes. That was the key to me. I didn't want to play him 30. I didn't need them to have to grind him out. They were only playing 20 minutes. He got his points, got off the floor, so he got playing time, but not too much playing time. But Tobias and J.J., are showing me things I didn't know that they had.
Yes.
I didn't know if Redick, I have to give credit to. I did not think at 34 he would hold up over a long year. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but he looks as fresh now as he has all year as far as his legs. At 34, that's incredible. And Tobias played real defense. Now, he'll have to play it against better players, but he showed a willingness to defend that I haven't seen in his entire career.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right about that. Now, he's athletic to do that. The J.J. Redick thing is interesting because I agree with you, but I think they made it easier for him. It's easier to not switch and hang with a guy like Joe Harris, who's not going to be have the blinding speed to beat you like D'Angelo Russell or LeVert. So they did the right thing there. They're not going to be able to do the same thing against Toronto, which herein lies the problem. The J.J. thing, yes, he played defense in this series. Can he do that against Toronto? Because they're probably going to have to switch a lot against Toronto. I don't know if they can play the same way against Toronto they played against the Nets defensively. But offensively, everybody seems to be are playing with a confidence level. Which I didn't see. We saw the end of the season. They weren't playing with a confidence level. You know, they didn't feel like they were in a blend. And all of a sudden, this series, I think, has made them blend a little bit.
And the Nets trying to get chippy and get physical, that kind of makes you have your guys back just naturally because you're wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
And we thought it happened with Miami last year.
Yeah.
But you had Euros. And I never know about the Euros when it comes to a battle. I trust these guys a little bit more to bond together because of the lack of Euro.
Yeah.
I do. I just don't trust the Euros when it comes to a fight.
I got you. And two Euros were involved in that fight last night for the Brooklyn Nets.
What are they doing waiting until that point to get in a fight?
I was right there. I was right under the basket when that happened.
Pushing Jonah.
And Jonah actually had his arm hooked. Had the guy's arm hooked. And the guy says, stop hooking my arm. And then Jonah, like, kind of pushed him. Like, I don't know what that was all about. But, you know, it was kind of on the way out to have that end the series was kind of stupid.
Yeah, like, let's go. Yeah. That's more whistles, more reviews.
Yeah, so we're going to have Brett Brown on. I got a million questions to ask him about how he's going to approach the next series and the rotation and all that kind of stuff. And whether he can use Boban or whether he's going to have to use Bolden, what guys will actually play in this next series, and what is the key? He told us the key to this series would be to take their guards out from the perimeter, and they did that. And it was kind of a simple game plan because the Nets really didn't have anything else to go to. Toronto has a lot more to go to. So I'm curious. They're in meetings all day, by the way. The Sixer brass are in meetings all day. So he's breaking out of a meeting to be on the show. So I would love to know what's going on in these meetings. Probably strategy meetings.
Yeah, they got pour over the film.
And the players have off today.
That makes sense.
So they're gone.
That makes sense. Now, they didn't play the Raptors with this roster. So I'm interested when they look at the film study, how they're able to put these new pieces kind of in versus before when you had Dario and them originally and then before Tobias Harris got here with Shannon and them. It's totally different now.
All right, now, the other thing, the Phillies are in the soup right now. And last night, I did see the two pitches that were thrown at Rhys Hoskins. And I got to be honest with you, that's a mound charge. That's a mound charge, and he didn't charge.
Correct.
You know, and he was going to get suspended if he charged, and maybe he didn't want to get suspended. But there comes a time where you got to fight. And I think that last night was the time to fight. You're down 9-0. They're gonna tinkle on you by throwing at your head. That's way out of line. Whether it was in retribution for a couple of their guys getting hit the night before or not, when you're buzzing the guy's head with a 9-0 lead, you need to go down. And that should have been a mound charge.
And I want to ask you about that.
You did ask me last night.
Yeah, I was like.
You asked me last night. I said, what am I answer? That's a mound charge.
That's what I thought. And I don't want to. I'm not a tough guy, so I don't want to talk like a tough guy. I just thought that it would. And he looked. I thought it would have been appropriate to absorb the suspension to keep that from happening. Because remember, he got his jaw broke last year.
I think that would have been a bonding thing for the team, right, too, had he done that.
Right. That's what I thought, yeah. And versus what Arrieta did. By the way,
exactly.
People, that speech didn't work because you saw last night they still lost.
The words don't work.
Right.
The action that a star player would take would work.
That's what I thought.
And listen, Reeves maybe isn't that type of guy, you know? But last night I thought that called for a mound charge. Now, you're getting swamped 9-0. They're going to do that to you? 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. What do you feel about the Toronto series? This one's behind us now. Now it gets real. The four teams that were supposed to be there are there. Can the Sixers get to the Eastern Conference Finals? We'll talk about it after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yeah, it was a crowd last night who was ready to get hyped. And he just, you know, early on, and it's just like it was a shoot a bottle rocket. Psh, all right, you got that over with. Now what? You got to sit through the rest of a drone game with no competitiveness, knowing that the Sixers are moving on. And the only thing you got to wait for is when they're going to announce the next series. And it looks like they're going to play the Toronto Raptors Saturday night in Toronto, 8 o'clock game. From the information that we have been able to glean. But that's not official yet. So we'll continue. I forgot to remind the people that today is General Knowledge Wednesday. In addition to some great guests we have today, because we have Brett Brown on 2:30, Jeff Legwold from ESPN's NFL Nation, who has ranked the players in this draft, and we'll get some insight on where the Eagles may go. And then Jason Stark at 4 o'clock. And, you know, Jason's not going to agree with me, because Jason's a pacifist when it comes to baseball. But here's the thing about this Reese Hoskins thing. How many times has this happened to him now?
So, at his head, at least five times.
They throw a lot inside, up and inside to him.
Broke his jaw last year.
Exactly. Now, the word is out, probably, that he's the type of guy who's not going to come out to the mound. So he's the perfect target. So in a way, he almost has to do that. Because then a pitcher knows, okay, well, he's going to come out and kick my ass if I do it again. You know, you got to put that message across sometimes.
Like self-preservation in a way.
Exactly.
Like you have to fight to protect yourself in the future.
Exactly. Because you're not going to do that to Harper.
No, because they know he'll come out.
Because Harper goes from 0 to 100.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So Reese is like, you know, the calm guy. Okay, we can hit Reese. He's their number four hitter. He's the perfect target. He's a great player in their lineup. And we can send the message to him because he's not going to come out and beat my ass.
He did give them an intense stare last night.
Yeah, good. Stare doesn't hurt.
A mean mug. Yeah. He mean mugged them.
Stares don't hurt.
I got to tell you.
A right knuckle to the jaw hurts.
Right.
Behind the scenes, I saw a side of somebody from NBC Sports Philly I had never seen when that happened. Amy Fadul's yelling, fight!
Really?
Fight! Yeah, she won. She was like, get out there.
Get it, girl, Amy. Charge that, son of a gun. All right, the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by... It is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. It is also time to start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Did the way the Sixers finished the Nets make you feel better about the Raptors series? Over 200 votes on this one early. 58% say yes, great defense. 26% say no, only the Nets. And 16% say I don't know.
All right, 58% is not a high percentage. I'm at 52, so I can understand your ambivalence. But if I can go over the top on the side of the Sixers, I can't see why fans can't. Because we're learning the same thing. We're watching a team that experienced great growth that I did not expect. I did not expect certain elements of their game to surface.
You know what, Mike? I agree with you. And while the Nets, this group, they don't have a bunch of pedigree. Some of their pieces have pedigree. But as a unit, they're not a team that's so cohesive that you shouldn't be able to beat them.
No.
They're not like the Warriors or the Celtics even. They're established as a group.
Yes.
This team, they're not established at long term as a group to where we should have fear. They're talented, but they're not a cohesive long term group.
Yeah. And you knew after game two, the series was over. You know, the first series, they weren't ready for them. They just weren't. They took it for granted. And it showed. And that really turned out to be maybe the onus they needed. That kick in the head that says, hey, you know, we got to change it up here. All right, so today is General Knowledge Wednesday, and here's the deal. The first 10 correct answers for today will get a pair of general admission to the Philadelphia Derby's Philly Premier Kentucky Derby Party. This should be a lot of fun, man. At the new Sunset Social Rooftop Bar in University City on May 4th. This includes general admission for two, one free Blue Moon or mixed cocktail, live music featuring Go-Go Gadget.
Wow.
Go-Go Gadget is a state college band.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
They are. Fancy hat contest, Kentucky Derby, of course, and much more. Tickets can be purchased on upcomingevents.com. So the first 10 people that get an answer correctly will win a pair of those tickets. And then qualify for the grand prize, which is a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah on his Loud and Clear tour, Friday, May 3rd at 10 p.m. at the Met in Philadelphia. Tickets are now on sale for that show at Ticketmaster.com. So here are our categories today. There is the general knowledge category. There is the 1990s movie co-stars. Like if I were to give you John Travolta, Uma Thurman, your answer would be what?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction would be correct. Then we're gonna go solemn. Easter quiz.
Oh, okay.
Right? For all the Christians out there, Easter quiz.
Can I get one of these?
Yeah, the 40-day period before Easter.
Oh, Lent.
Right. Very easy.
Yes.
Right? Okay, in the fourth category, geography true or false.
Ooh.
50% chance to get the answer right.
I like that.
There you go. I can't give you that answer because I'm saving them all.
Okay.
All right. Brett Brown in 5 minutes. Let's go to Mano in Cape May. Mano, you're on 97.5 The Fnag. What's up, Mano?
Hey, Mikey Mess. What's the word, brother?
What's happening, man?
Long time, first time.
Thank you, buddy. What's it like in Cape May today?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Is it beautiful?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me check it out.
So, I wanted to talk about Brett Brown.
Yeah?
I ain't always been his biggest fan, but I think he actually deserves a lot of credit for making the necessary adjustments after the disgrace that happened in Game 1.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask him about that. I'm gonna get into like what was going through his head after Game 1 and made the adjustments.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of the biggest criticisms of Brett, like he's too stubborn with his rotations and his defensive schemes, or he doesn't have a good feel for momentum swings and when to call a timeout. I think these are things that he showed a lot of progress with in this series. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't give him props, Michael.
I agree with you. He coached a very good series. He took away the other team's best strength. And in doing that, he improved his defense. His team's defensive posture improved overall.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of the time during the regular season, when people criticize him for these things, I think it might just be that he's experimenting. or doing things that he wouldn't necessarily do.
Yeah, listen, there have been plenty of things that we had to complain about. I mean, I didn't think his rotation was that great. I think he was reaching at a couple things. I think the defensive game plan wasn't always there. They gave him a lot of points. They turned the ball over. But in this series, they seem to come together and tighten up a lot.
I'm mostly just glad he put T.J. McConnell's butt on the bench.
Yeah, well, T.J. had a play last night, of course. T.J. pulled out 11 minutes last night. Garbage minutes. You've texted me. Why is T.J. in the game? What'd I say? Second quarter. Garbage time.
Yeah.
It was garbage time in the second quarter.
You know,
there's no reason not to play him.
You know what's funny is I was still, until part of the way through the third quarter, I was still approaching it like somehow the Nets could come back somehow. And I was just mad because he ended up like a minus 14, T.J.
He was the only
player that was, he was a minus 14.
He played the whole fourth quarter when they scored a lot.
Yeah.
The Nets scored a lot. It was like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson thought he was playing against Coatesville.
He did.
It was like Chester against Coatesville.
I have to give him some credit. He started, when they put him in the first half looking for a spark, and it didn't work, he had like the ninja headband on.
Yeah.
Once that game got out of hand, he took the headband off.
Yeah,
and I think that's like appropriate. You don't go trying to style when you're down 35.
No, you can't style. And plus, he got humiliated by Embiid early.
Yeah.
With that dunk.
How's that a T, by the way? How's that a technical?
You can't taunt the guy.
Can't point at him.
It's a taunt. You can't point at the guy.
They used to let Mutombo do the finger wag.
Yeah, well, you can't point at anybody anymore. That's a taunt.
Man, they tightened this up too much.
They did tighten it up. Thomas and Broomall, what's up, Thomas?
Hey, what's up? That Sixers game, man, I couldn't believe it. I had to work, but I recorded the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to shut my phone off, so I didn't get any updates. But, yeah, dominant game all around. The defense was tight. I mean, I knew that the Nets were a terrible team. But not to be able to score anything, like, halfway through the first quarter, I mean, I know the Sixers' defense, you know, held up, but, you know, I was expecting more from the Nets. I mean,
the Sixers hit it with an avalanche, and they go, you know, why are we here? We can't win this series. So subconsciously, they just shut down.
It seemed like the Nets went to their own funeral. You know? I mean, we're black. That's their color. I mean, it's fast to be a Nets fan.
Look at you, man, getting all literate.
But, you know, I mean, I think the momentum is strong, even though it was just the Nets. You know, I could see the Sixers, you know, winning game one against Toronto.
I actually think the same thing. I think if they can win game one, they win the series.
Yeah.
Because that would be a startling result in Toronto, where they haven't been very successful. But it's a different team going up there now. You know, all these bad stats in Toronto, they don't deal with the Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler team.
Yeah, I get that. You have a 90s co-star question for me?
I get a general knowledge question for you.
General knowledge, yeah.
All right, what story does the phrase Bah Humbug come from?
Bah Humbug.
Bah Humbug.
Yeah, I know. It's easy.
Charlie Dickens.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Incorrect.
It's a Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. Charlie Dickens.
Muppets version is great.
No, it really is. That's the best version of them all, is the Muppet.
The Muppet version?
Yeah,
yeah, it's the
very
best version.
Good.
Very good. Christmas Carol?
Yep.
Yes. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen it with Michael Caine?
No.
It's really good.
Very good.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kermit.
Check it out while I'm preparing for the Lion King movie.
How about Christmas time, Mike? You get in the spirit. And you watch it on a Saturday.
I got to be honest with you, there's not a Christmas movie out there that really sends me to joy and happiness.
You don't like a Home Alone?
They're too hokey.
No Home Alone?
The movies are too hokey for me.
Santa Claus with Tim Allen? No? No?
Santa Claus with Tim Allen. You know what? The only Christmas movie I liked was Elf.
Another Will Ferrell. Look at you.
What is going on?
See, I like that.
See?
I thought Elf was hysterical.
Did you find Cotton-Headed Ninny Muggins funny?
I thought it was funny when he said, he went, well, look, they have the world's best coffee. Why is he, little things like that crazy? You can't figure me out.
You can't
put me in a box, Holmes.
That and City of Angels, now add that to the pile.
Elf.
I don't like Old School. I like Elf and Anchorman.
Huh. All right.
I'm a paradox.
You are.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
What's going on?
What's up, Chuck? You happy?
I'm ecstatic.
Howdy, guy.
I mean, really, I did not. I mean, we needed that to happen. Not that we didn't expect that to happen. That actually needed to happen to put a statement that said, hey, we're here. We're not just here to win. We're not going to get by on a three-point shot like Damian Lillard had to hit. You know, we're here. And, you know, I think the one thing that might be better with who we matched up with than Toronto is Toronto had an easier matchup, I think, with the Magic than, you know, I think the Nets were a better team than the Magic. So I think, you know, the Raptors might be a little bit easier, you know, going in. You know, maybe
A key element in that game last night we're kind of overlooking, and it was when Scott limped off. And if he's not able to play in that rotation, that bench rotation, I mean, they're ultra thin.
Yeah, we can't afford
that's a heel contusion.
Anybody.
He's going to be all right? Heel contusion.
What is a heel contusion? What did he do?
It's a bruised heel.
Landed on his heel wrong then.
Probably did.
Well, yeah, we can't afford to lose anybody. I mean, they were talking earlier about Ben Simmons playing 48 minutes. I mean, hey, if they have to play that much, we have to play that much through the whole series.
Ben Simmons
can actually hold up.
I bet you Ben Simmons can play 48 minutes.
Ben Simmons can play.
I bet you he's the only guy on that team that can play 48 minutes. He never looks like he gets tired ever.
Well, you always say he never sweats.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Hey, before we get off, can I get a general knowledge? I know I can't come up with anything, but I'd like to get a general knowledge.
1990s movies co-stars. All right, let's go with this one here. The co-stars were Jason Biggs and Tara Reid.
American Pie?
That's correct. Chuck! Nice job!
It's a good movie, too.
Tara Reid, I used to like her. Then she became a mess.
She did it to herself.
Yeah,
I know. She got all that plastic surgery?
She's self-conscious. Nice. Yeah, so really self-conscious. She admitted it after the fact. She got really self-conscious for whatever reason. Didn't think she was busty enough, pretty enough, et cetera. And she went and got work done on all those things. And
a lot of people getting that work done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've been showing me some photos of people behind the scenes. Whoa, slow down. Slow down.
We're waiting on Brett, so we'll take another call with Ben in Jersey. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ben.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Ben?
First time, long time.
What's up, Ben?
First, I want to talk about the Portland game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a violation for them to be stomping on the graves of the Oklahoma City Thunder? I mean, we're talking about a team here that hasn't made it out of the second round in a couple of decades.
Now, man, you know what? Russell Westbrook invites all. You could do it. The way Russell Westbrook acts, you know, he sets that team up for all kinds of abuse like that.
I guess I can buy that. I mean, he's definitely a hate-to-face guy.
He is a hate-to-face guy. Screw that team. All right, we're going to have to put you on hold here, Ben, because on the line we have the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Finished off the Brooklyn Nets four straight last night to win the Series 4-1 and to wait to the Toronto Raptors. He, of course, is Brett Brown, and he's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Brett, nice job last night, and I guess I got to ask you, where did you sense your guys would come out like the killer instinct they had last night?
I did. I think that sort of we understood trying to find a way to break their spirit as soon as we could. And closeout games, you always find that. Like, when is somebody's sort of will to continue to fight going to break? And I think that our guys really were adamant on trying to force feed that as soon as possible. The margin surprised me, Mike, as far as the quickness of our lead. But the mentality did not.
Yeah, I thought the net. I actually thought that you guys and everybody thought that the series was over after the last game, and so I thought you guys were going to come in at kind of a malaise. But it was just the opposite. It's like you broke that team's spirit in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was proud of the execution of our defense. For the large majority of the series, you know, I think after game two, when we sort of were just hanging around and finally we sort of bit, I think, with a truer conviction of like, what's our purpose? What are we trying to do defensively? That we took off, you know, I think we scored through our defense. I think there was a belief through our defense. And last night, I think our defense and the physicality of it was a good way to sort of put your final thumbprint on the series.
Yeah, you know, the adjustments that you made in the series are being lauded by a lot of fans here. And so I'm curious to know, after you saw game one, what did you feel you had to do as a coach to adjust? What specific things did you concentrate on?
Some of them were driven just by watching the game and feeling it. Some of it was driven by, for example, James Ennis's health, you know, allowed me to give him more minutes. And, you know, through that, you were able to sort of give Jimmy the ball more and not play TJ as much in this series. TJ obviously still has a place on our team, but in that particular series, we just wanted to get shooters on the floor, and James's availability allowed us to do that. And then sort of incrementally in the series offensively, just trying to pick on targets and put different people in pick and rolls and post different people based on the matchups. I think defensively, sort of the nuances of a holistic game plan, we were able to drill down and, you know, leave different types of people and not guard them and stay on the high side of people like Harris or D'Angelo, or, you know, really have Ben be on D'Angelo as much as we could. I thought he had an outstanding series defensively. But things like that we were able to do and, you know, just sort of walk down a game plan and conclude it like we did last.
Yeah, a lot of defense is strategy, and you did. And the strategy for this series was to take away their perimeter because they really didn't have that much to go beyond that. So is it my imagination, or did you stop switching as much as you had been and kept guys fighting through screens, like keeping a guy like JJ to go with Harris and letting Ben handle D'Angelo Russell?
It is true that in certain plays, in certain environments, what you just said is true. We still have sort of like our switch groups that we've minimized a little bit. You know, JJ's the one that I pay attention to the most, where you just don't want to put him in sort of unfavorable situations with great penetrators. And I thought JJ defensively, you know, was in sort of a hard show. We call it a hedge, a show, call it what you want, just something that was sort of the point of contact of the screen. He'd get out and show some level of resistance and then go back to his own. We were able to keep JJ more on his own man in that environment. But defensively, like I say, I'm really, it's probably the thing that I leave that series with that I think can have the most carryover to Toronto.
All right, let's talk about Toronto. First of all, let's talk about the health. Embiid's health is always a question. He looked good last night in 20 minutes, but is this the type of thing that is going to carry on and you're going to have to manage minutes, or is it let's go now? It's the semifinals, let's go.
I don't think it's going to be at that stage. I think there's going to be still sort of judgment, you know, as things get closer. I can tell you that Joel has been incredibly professional and sort of incredibly responsible with his role in all of this. And so what that looks like is stuff, you know, in alter G's and finding ways to maintain his conditioning and extra sessions with strength and conditioning. But as it relates to like a full-fledged available Joel Embiid, I can't promise that. I hope it, but I can't say that right now.
All right. There's a big difference between this team you're going to be playing now and the Nets, with all due respect to the Nets. There are more areas of the floor you're going to have to cover, be conscious of covering. Can you play the same way against Toronto, or are you going to have to adjust defensively to handle what they bring?
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have to adjust. You know, you're not going to play, you know, Kawhi Leonard as an example the same way you would play, say, D'Angelo. You know, we really just tried to stalk D'Angelo and chase him downhill into 7'4" and 7'2" centers, great rim protectors. And I think with Kawhi, you know, he's probably going to see some greater level of resistance than we were able to do, say, with D'Angelo. And so all over the place, Mike, I think there are pieces that will carry over for sure. But like any series you go into, we're going to have to drill down on what we do with Ibaka, you know, as a pick-and-pop guy or Kawhi in a pick-and-roll type things.
Yeah, and on that note, how does it affect your rotation now? Because you got away with playing Boban against the Nets. You might not be able to get away with it against Toronto. How do you feel you're going to handle that?
Yeah, it's on my mind. You know, I hope that at some level we can continue to play Boban. How long and what my tolerance level is doing that, we will find out. But your point on, you know, Ibaka and Gasol being their five men is challenging because both of those guys can step out and make threes. And they can make long twos at a high percentage. And so my decision on what we do with the five man and Boban in particular, it's still on the table. But it's certainly a big question going into the series.
Does this mean that Bolden may see some time in this series that he did not see?
He might. I think, you know, your options become sort of Greg Monroe or Jonah Bolden. And maybe, you know, you go small ball a little bit, but I doubt it. And so I think Jonah, you know, probably would be my expectation for the first choice in the event that Boban's not the guy.
What's the deal with Mike Scott? Will he be ready to play?
I don't know. Right now we're going through treatments, and we're going to find out more later today. But as I speak, I don't know what his availability will be.
All right. Brett, you know, you've taken a lot of criticism over the you know, this season, even though you guys have won 50 games plus again. You're being lauded now. You're back on top with this fan base. Do you pay attention to any of that stuff?
I don't because... you know, you live in the city, you're aware of it. It's really, Mike, I'm at a stage now where I've been doing this a long time. And I love what I do. You know, we've knocked out two 50-win seasons, and we're back in the semifinals. And I'm proud of what we've built. I think all of us, you know, if you had said this is where we were going to be after the 10-win season, we'd be pretty proud. And we got a 25-year-old and a 22-year-old all-star along the way. And so, you know, those are my memories more than the noise.
Did this series seem to gild you guys as a team? Everybody's been after the elusive, when is this team going to get together? They haven't had enough games to get together. This series has proven, I think, to a lot of people that you did come together as a cohesive unit. Do you believe that?
I think that we're moving in the right direction. You know, I'll always... because I've been around so many teams, you're always going to be mindful of this team hasn't been with each other a lot. And so as series get more serious and as teams that you're playing get better, you see different things. And I think for the first series, I do agree with what you just said, but we still got work to do, and we still are going to be incredibly tested, especially in this next series.
All right, all these meetings you have going today, strategic meetings? Film study?
Yeah, no. Yes, yeah, doing a lot of, you know, offense, defense, prep type stuff.
All right, well, I'll let you get back to that. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Great job.
Yeah, Mike, good stuff. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Brett Brown, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Toronto Raptors next, and it's going to be a different defensive climate. It's one thing when you can take away one spot of the floor, it makes it a little easier to defend. This team is kind of like multi-versatile. You know, they can hurt you down low. They can hurt you up top. They can hurt you in transition if you turn the ball over. We'll see what happens. But I'm at 52-48 on whether they can win the series.
And I was encouraged by his Embiid answer because I knew he wasn't going to say he's full go.
Yep.
But there was some tell. The fact that Embiid's able to do the treatment that he was mentioning means he's feeling better than when he was just shut down completely.
Now let me just say, I was talking to a lot of people last night who... they're not, like, particularly involved with the situation. They're medical observers, let's say. And they look at the situation, they go, he's probably got a slight meniscus tear. Now, you can play on a meniscus tear. It's only going to get worse, and the pain is unbearable. And then surgery would be after the season. I tore my meniscus, and I still kept playing. I go, this really hurts. So I got to look down, it was a torn meniscus, and I'm not playing for the Sixers, so I can't get the surgery. But a lot of people think it's that, and more than tendonitis.
That would make sense. A lot of things make sense if that's the case. with him doing so much zero G stuff that they've been mentioning to keep him off of that leg. Mm-hmm. When tendonitis, you strengthen the quad and the calf.
You do. You work the muscle and So it might be that. Who knows? But at this point, you got to suck it up. You can't not play on it now. Now you got to manage it and boom, let's go. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Misnelli Show. A couple open lines right now. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 252, Mike Misnelli Show. I went to that game last night. Usually a game like that I would bail out early, but I knew I had a method to my madness last night, Tyron.
Yeah, I know.
And I was going to hang around and touch base with J.J. Redick, who has been the white whale that we have pursued here to get on as a guest, because I think he'd be a fascinating guest.
Yeah.
Like, he would smart. I would love to talk about the mechanics of shooting, which fascinate me. The fact that he is spry as he is. I want to know what his routine is physically and diet-wise. All that stuff would be very interesting to me. So I get down there. It's my mission. Touch base with JJ. Try to get him to come on the show. Because he refuses a lot of this stuff. We've been trying him like all year.
I personally haven't seen him do any interviews.
Right. Now, he's available after every game, cameras on his face, and when he's done that, he's done. He's like a shot, he's out of there. I don't know whether he has to drive back to Brooklyn or whatever it is. He's like a mystery man.
Yeah.
So he's done his stuff, and he comes by, and I grab his arm.
You got him.
Yeah, and I introduce myself to him, and he's like walking, and I'm walking with him. I go, listen, man. And I introduced myself and I said, I've been trying to get you on all year because I think we'd have a great conversation. I'd love to have you on either tomorrow or Thursday. We could talk about anything you want. We can even talk about your podcast because he does a podcast.
And yeah. His podcast is awesome.
It's really good. He loves to talk about.
Right.
And he looks at me, he goes, okay, let's do it. And then he disappeared into the night. Right, so I'm huddling with the six PR guys. I said, listen, man, this is really important to me. And so, like, I touch base with them. They're off tomorrow, Thursday. Like, give them a little prod, and hopefully, we can make this happen.
It'll be JJ Day here on the Mike Misnelli Show.
That would make me happy.
So Thursday morning, the Sixer PR people are going to try to make it happen.
Wonderful
with JJ. Hopefully,
JJ Day.
To me, that would be a fascinating conversation to have with him.
It would be.
He's got a lot of stuff in his head.
Yeah, he does.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll start the 3 o'clock hour fresh with a lot of calls and general knowledge Wednesday. Coming up, more guests today. Jeff Legwold at 3:30. Talk about the NFL draft. Jason Stark at 4. Talk some Phillies baseball. And we're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.